If you're listening to Amma de Khazar with Daniel Eisenberg, we'll do a catch-up Amma today. We'll do Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, which was supposed to be Thursday night. We'll do that now. And we'll try to pick up with Lamed Tes Amud Beis when we continue. So we're going to start around 9-10 lines down on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, where we left off. The discussion over here has been about shlakos. So we cooked vegetables. Do they retain their status as ha'adama, as vegetables, or does the cooked aspect indicate a lessening of the quality and therefore it would be a shahakal? We brought a few different discussions, a potential machlokas between the Bavli and Yerushalmi Amorayim, where both Rav and Shmuel were independently quoted as saying that the bracha is ha'adama on shlakos. And then there was some sort of machlokas about whether Rabbi Yochanan held it was shahakol or adama, and discussions of what that machlokas actually looked like. Was it really a machlokas, or was it just talking about different types of vegetables? And now we're going to suggest neima ketanoi. Maybe this is actually machlokas tanoim. Dehanu trei talmidei dehavu yosvei kamei debar kapara, because there were two talmidim that were sitting before Bar Kapara. So just a quick comment to Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara is Rav Elazar Kapar. There might have been two that were possibly father and son. Rav Elazar Kapar, the Bar Kapara is a really like a late Tana, early Amora. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Huda Nasi and an author of and compiler of many Brisos. He and Rav Hoshaya, as well as Rav Chia, were involved in the organization and writing of many Brisos. So he's being referred to as a Tana, as well as his Talmidim here, which is interesting, and Mepharshim surely discussed this. But at the very least, we mean an earlier discussion, even earlier than the Amorayim we quoted previously. So anyway, they were sitting before Bar Kapara, heviu lefanav kruv v'dormaskin v'pargios. They brought before him kruv, which is cabbage, and dormaskin. Dormaskin is, so Rashi says it's a type of shlakos. It's a type of vegetable that was cooked. He says it's called octalashit. He says that there's another opinion that says it's prunj or prunes, but he says that it can't be because that's ha'et. So he says it's rather this other, it's just some type of vegetable. And pargios. So pargios, so Rashi says it's basar of shakorin par tadaria. It's meat of a chicken called, it's really the partridge. I looked it up. It's a type of bird. In Israel today, you can get pargiot, which is usually baby chicken. Anyway, some type of chicken delicacy. Anyway, so he has these things are brought out. Nosen bar kapara reshus le'echad mehen levarech. So bar kapara gives permission for one of them to make the bracha, seemingly bracha rishona, to pater everybody. Kofatz, uvarech. So this guy got up quickly, he jumped up. We had this lashon with Rabbi Akiva previously. And Lamed Zayin. So he jumped up and he made the bracha al hapargios, over the pargios, over this chicken. Lagle galav chavero. So the other guy who was before Bar Kapara, he mocked him. He was laughing that he made the bracha on pargios first. So this is Bar Kapara's response. Cause Bar Kapara, he got angry. Amar lo amavarich anikois, ela aham elaglega anikois. He said, I'm angry, but I'm not angry at the one who made the bracha. Rather, I'm angry at the malagleg, the one who was mocking his friend. Im chaverecha doma kimi shelo tam tam basar meolam. That if your friend is acting like somebody who never tasted the taste of meat in his life, meaning he was so excited that to eat the chicken that he made the bracha on that first. Atama amal lagta. So what are you making fun of? What are you making fun of him for? Right. So Rashi says that he saw there was a certain adifus. It was he was very excited to eat this meat, and therefore he made the bracha on that first. Why are you making fun of him? Then he turns chazar. Then he goes back. Lo al malagleg anikois, ela al mevarich anikois. He says, but I'm not angry at the malagleg, the one who was mocking. Rather, I'm angry at the one who has made the bracha. The Amar, and he said, im chachma in kan zikna in kan. He says, okay, maybe I don't have chachma, maybe I'm not so wise, but I'm at least old. I've been around. And Rashi says that he was saying that Hello, Zuckinini, Vaholo, Lishalini, Al Aza, Mehen Yavarich, Liftoris, Sharamin. He says, am I not older? Like, I should at least be experienced enough that you should feel comfortable asking me which one you should make the bracha on. And then Rashi just gets into it. He goes, Lishitasa, about being, about pottering someone from other brachos and getting covered in amotzi. You can check out the Rashi there. Oh, Zikna Einkan. It's interesting. But just to get a simple understanding of the Gemara, he says that I'm not angry at the mocker, I'm angry at the one who made the bracha, because he should have asked me. And it's unclear if he was speaking to both of them, you know, the lashon of, I'm not angry at this guy, I'm angry at this guy, but then he says, I'm not angry at this guy, I'm angry at this guy. So it's unclear if he said both and it was for, you know, kind of like a dramatic effect, or chazar, like he kind of changed his mind, or it could be he spoke to each one individually and said, I'm angry at you, I'm angry at you. Leaving the other guy's musr for the other guy, as opposed to having them both hear the musr for the other person. Okay. Anyway, so that's what happens, and then the Gemara quotes Tana, and we learned regarding this: Shneim lo hotzia shnasan. Both of them did not live out their year, which is very very intense. Both of them acted inappropriately and did not live out the year. Okay. So anyway, looking back now at this story that we have. My love, Bahakamiflagi? Wait, isn't this what they're arguing about? Our exact question about the machlokas, the bracha of shlokos? Dimavarich savar shlokos, upargios shakol nebidvaro. That the one who made the bracha, he held that shlokos were shahakol. And the part, and right there, so meaning the damaskin and the cabbage, were shahakol, as well as the pargios, as well as the chicken. Hilkach chavivadiv, and therefore he said, look, I have three shahakol foods in front of me, so the one that's the most exciting one, the most delicious one, the one I'm most interested in eating, is the one I'm going to make the bracha on. And umalag leg, and the one who made fun of him for that, savar shlakos borei pri adama, he thought the bracha was ha-adama. And since the bracha was ha-adama, so hilkach, Pera adif. Therefore, the hadama food would be better. Rashi just explains over here. Says that shehi bracha chashuva la'atzma, because it's a bracha, it's a chashuv bracha on its own. L'dvarim chashuvim for that which is made for dvarim chashuvim v'haya lo lahakdimo, and therefore it would have been better for him to make that one go first. Meaning he first should have had the hadama foods and then had the pargios afterwards, which were shahakol, which is interesting, because it seems like we're not categorizing it. So it seems to be that. If you have brachos, something of hadama in front of you and something of shahakol, so hadama is a more specific bracha, therefore that goes first. And then if you equalize everything and everything is the same bracha, then you pick what's the most exciting. But Rashi seems to be telling us a little bit, giving us a little bit insight into the concept of different brachos maybe going first, is that a bracha, a more specified bracha, is given for a more chashiv thing. So sometimes what's better is what's more, you know, what's more chaviv, what's adif, is better is dependent on your subjective opinion. But sometimes there's just objective standard for what's better and what's more chashiv. And objectively, something that would get a ha'adama is objectively more chashiv than something that only gets a shahakol. And therefore, the more specified bracha of borei pri ha'adama is set on a more chashuv thing. So now that you have that more chashuv thing in front of you, that's the bracha you're going to, that's what you're going to make a bracha on. Now, if everything is more or less equal because you only make a shahakol, the chazal didn't give us a more chashuv bracha to make on it, so then you can pick your subjective opinion of what's more exciting, what's more chaviv. If it's not that, meaning if there's actually a different bracha, that already tells us objectively what is more chashiv. And of course, it's interesting just to apply that nowadays, that, you know, you think of, or nowadays or even back then, right? You imagine a massive steak and, you know, some little carrot, and you're like, which one's more chashiv? But, it's the specificity of the bracha is for a reason, and it's worth thinking about why there's a more chashiv bracha on vegetables than on meat and fish and eggs and anything else that you would eat. One note, it could be the amount of human intervention in the planting process that requires a greater attention to Hashem's role in the process. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. So we have this discussion of there's a machlokus between these two Talmidim of Bar Kapara, and it could be that this is the fundamental machlokus that they're going back to of the Shlakos. Is Shlakos Shahakol or Adama? The Gemara responds, "Lo, no, that's not their machlokus. The Kuli Ama Shlakos Upargio Shahakol Nebed Varo." Now, really, we're suggesting that both Talmidim of Bar Kapara believed that Shalakos were Shahakol, and everything that was in front of them had the same bracha. Okay, so why did they have a difference in opinion? V'hacha b'hai svara kamifigli. And here they're arguing in the following svara. Mar savar chaviv adif. One held that whatever is more chaviv is going to be better, meaning what he desired the most, and that's the one who made the bracha. He said, whatever I'm most excited to eat, for example, the pargios, that's what I'm going to make the bracha on. Umar savar karuv adif dezayin. And the other one says, the kruv, the cabbage, is better designed because it sustains. And Rashi just quotes the Gemara later on in Dalam and Beis, which has kruv lamazon v'tardin refu, that kruv is a particularly sustaining, nourishing food. Therefore, the machlokes had nothing to do with shlakos. They both held that everything and all the foods in front of them were shahakol. The question is, do we say that's what's most exciting should be the one that gets the bracha, the one that's most chaviv, or the one that's a particularly sustaining food like cabbage? I think it's worth mentioning the following point. You know, it's not so clear, why do we assume that they both said shahakol? Meaning, now it could be the Gemara is just entertaining the possibility, saying don't say conclusively that these two opinions, that the machlokas of Bar Kapara's Tamidim was regarding shlakos being adam or shahakol, that really you can suggest another possibility as well. But it could actually be that we would lean towards this understanding that they would both hold it is shahakol. From the fact that you take a look at what Bar Kapara says, he doesn't paskin regarding shlakos, right? He doesn't say, you know, why are you making shlakos? Why are you saying bracha on shlakos? You're not supposed to. It seems like we're not having a shlakos conversation here. He gives one of them mussar for the malag, like the one who mocked him. He says, just because your friend acts like he never tasted meat before, so you're going to make fun of him for that? Which seems to indicate that he halachically agrees with the bracha that he made, meaning that he finds the meat chaviv. Why are you making fun of him? Meaning he's justifying the bracha being made on the thing that is most appetizing to him. So he, first of all, it doesn't seem like a shlakos discussion. It just seems that he agrees with the one who agrees that everything is shahakol, and the appropriate bracha would have been would be shahakol, but to be made on maybe something else, not the pargios, but over here, because the pargios are more chaviv, that would be the right bracha. However, his response to the other person, the one who made the bracha, he says, "You should have asked me." Meaning, he didn't say, "You made a mistake in the bracha," that, you know, oh, shlakos are really hadam or shahako, this. He didn't say you made a mistake. He said, "You shouldn't have gotten up and made the bracha like the way you did. You should have asked me, because even if I'm not a Talmid Chacham," just to note Bar Kapara's humility here, he says, okay, maybe I'm not so smart, but at least I'm older than you. But he says that even if I wasn't, I don't have Chachma, but at least I have Zikna, I have age and experience, and maybe you should ask me before you jump up and make the bracha. In fact, we see the Lashon of Kafatz, that he like jumped up, like he didn't, like he should have, just like Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Akiva, you should have asked me first. Meaning, yeah, like, it's true, at the end of the day, you made the right bracha, but it was a little bit of a tricky situation over here. You have the kruv in front of you, which is sustaining. You have the chicken, which is adif, so which is chaviv, and maybe that's better. So it wasn't clear. So you should have asked me instead of like quickly jumping into the bracha. That was inappropriate, and that's what he gives him mussar for. I'm sorry. I apologize if that last point wasn't so clear. But I would just say in conclusion that it looks like this understanding of the machlokus is actually the correct understanding. That it seems that Bar Kapara and his talmidim all held that shlakos are really shahakol, and the discussion over here, the thing that he's really giving them mussar for, if you see the words he says, it seems that one of them was getting mussar not for making the wrong bracha, but just for not asking before in a tricky situation, and the other one is getting mussar for mocking was actually the correct halacha, and the fact just and the fact that his friend actually preferred the pargios to the other foods there. Okay, that was just a thought of mine. Let's continue in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Zera says, Amar Lan. So Rav Huna said to us when we were. Right, Amar Rav Zera says, Ki avina be Rav Huna Amar Lan, when we are by the base metrics of Rav Huna, he said to us, Hani garglide delifta, these garglide delifta, which Rashi says, Rashi lefatas, which is the turnip heads, so these turnip heads, parminuhu prima rabba, if you cut them into big cuts, into large pieces, borei priyadama. Make adam a prima zuta, but if you cut them to small pieces, shahakol nebidvaro. Shahakol, if you cut them into small pieces, seemingly because it detracts from the quality when you cut it into very small pieces when you dice it. V'chia san lebe Rav Yehuda, but when we came before the Academy of Rav Yehuda, Amar Lan, he said to us, idi borei pri adama. Both the large pieces and the diced pieces are borei pri adama. V'hai de bar minuhu tvei. Ki hechi denam tik tame, and this that they cut it very much so, meaning they dice it, is so that it brings out a sweeter taste. Meaning it doesn't detract from the quality of the vegetable. In fact, it enhances it, and therefore it is going to be hadama, not shahakol. A similar story of a brachos learned. Not similar halacha. So, Amar Rav Ashi ki avinin be Rav Kahana. When we were by the be Rav Kahana, Amar Lan, he said to us, Tavshila de silka de lo mafshuba kimcha. Borei pri adama. If you have a dish, a stew of silka, of beets, that delo mafshuba kimcha, that they don't put in wheat, or kemach flour, they don't put a lot of it. Borei pri adama. It's going to be hadama. Delifta of turnips, de mafshuba kimcha, which where they do put a lot of kemach into, tvei, borei, mine mizonos, you make a mizonos on that. Vahadar, and then he went back, Amar, and he said, Idi v'idi borei pri adama. Actually, both of these dishes, whether it has a lot of kemach or not a lot of kemach, are going to be adama. Vahai deshadi bakimcha tfei, but, and this, that even in the one that they put a lot of kemach in it, l'dvuke ba'alma, it's only for dvak, for adhesion, meaning for holding it together. It's as a binding agent rather than for taste and for the quality of the food itself. And therefore, the mizonos will not go under the typical rule that we learned from Rav and Shmuel, on Lamed Vav, that any mizonos will, and Tosfos is there, by the way, and Lamed Vav does, I believe, quotes this, that usually mizonos in a dish will make the whole entire thing mizonos. However, even if it's not the majority, the main thing there, but if it's only as a binding agent, it will not. L'dvuke ba'alma avdila, right? Its purpose is l'dvuke ba'alma. Amar Rav Chisda said, tavshil shel tardin yafel alev. So a dish also of beets, of cooked beets, is good for the heart, right? Beets, they're good for the heart. V'tov le'inayim, and they're also, it's also good for the eyes. V'kol she'kein livnei me'ayim, and all the more so for the intestines. Right? So it's a nice little rhyme here that's added, right? Yafa the lev, v'tov le'inayim, v'kol she'kein livnei me'ayim. Okay. Amar Abaye, v'hudi yasiv abe tefi, v'avid toch. And this is when it sat on top of the teffi, like this, it looks like this on the stove, and it made a toch toch sound, right? This is onomatopoeia, toch toch, Rashi says, kolomar, shishalok v'nimcha ma'od, that it was like cooking there and like deteriorated or disintegrated a lot, v'kol resichaso nishmas kikol toch toch, and the sound of its being cooked, it sounds like the sound of toch toch. So once this it's really helpful once it's cooked a lot. Okay. Amar Rav Papa Pshitali, Maya de Silka Kasilko, Maya de Lifta Kalifta, Maya de Kulu Shlake, Kakulu Shlake. Rav Papa says it's very poshut to me that beet water, meaning like a beet soup or turnip soup or water that are like a soup of any cooked vegetables is like the food itself, meaning that the bracha made on beet soup, even if like not maybe the beet itself is not necessarily there, you would still say the borei pri adama, not a shahakol. And this is actually a big question in the Rishonim regarding the difference between this and fruits, which we said earlier is just I believe it was Lamed Ches, where we were saying that it's Zeya Ba'alma for May Peros, other than grape and olive juice. So why would this be different? There's different opinions in the Shonan, which are actually very important. The article does a nice little summary of some of the major opinions. One of them is the Rashba, I believe, which is that it's the intention of the planting of the food in the first place. So in general, fruits were not planted for the juices, and therefore it's Zeya Ba'alma. However, vegetables, like very often they were used in this process, which actually be a major nafkamina for oranges or fruits that are planted specifically for producing juice. I think this is the basis for the shita of the Chazon Ish, that fruit juice might be ha'etz. So that's one approach. Also quoted is the Mordechai, who says that it might be in how it's collected and if it's when it's a vegetable soup, so it's turned from a food into a food. It's irrelevant to discussion when it comes to dash and afarik and hilchos Shabbos. So it kind of changes its status. Like for a food that has a drink, sorry, like a fruit that produces a drink, so that's like a different, it's coming out of it, so it's being collected as a liquid coming from a food, so it's really a different thing. However, when it comes to vegetable soup, so if it's first a vegetable and then which is a food and then it's made into a soup, which is also considered a food, so it's really from a food to a food and the status isn't transitioning as much. And another approach is that of the Rush, which is that it's based on like the taste and the flavor, and that it's, when it comes to fruit juice, so that's actually a different taste, meaning it could be the tastes bear similarities, but it's not the taste of the fruit, it's the juice contained within the fruit, as opposed to the vegetable soup, where the essence of the vegetable itself is made into the soup, and the taste of the vegetable itself is being tasted in the soup. And anyway, those would be different, some of the different approaches to explain why, juice from a fruit would be shahakol. It doesn't keep the ha'etz bracha of the fruit, while vegetable soup, even without the body of the vegetable itself in there, would retain the ha'adama bracha. Okay, so let's continue by Rav Papa. But Rav Papa, so Rav Papa said that was all simpleton. However, he asked, Maya de shivta mai. So what's the halacha regarding soup or water produced with shivta, or sheves? Rashi says it's a yerek shenosel lemat bekader lematayka ba'alma. It's a type of vegetable that's placed in the pot really just to sweeten it. Velo lachlo, it's not food, like to food to be eaten itself. Anit belaz, it's called anit, but this is referring to dill. So if you have dill, which is not, the purpose of it is not a vegetable that's eaten, but rather it sweetens a dish. So what do we say about the soup, like a dill soup? So it's going to depend on the following chakira. Limatuke tama avdi, is it there for sweetening a dish? O lavude laavure zuhama avdila, or is it to remove this zuhama, like a filth or like a bad smell? Right. So Rashi says limatuke tama avid mevarchinam meme tavshila bari pri adama. If it's there to sweeten the dish and to add a flavor, then we would say it's hadama, and its soup would be hadama. However, if you say it's just like they're kind of to like counteract a negative smell, a bad smell, or a bad taste, it's like to counteract that, then it would seemingly just be shahakal. So now the Gemara wants to bring a raya. Toshma, come hear the following teaching. Hasheves, not Hashabbos, Hasheves, this dill, right, the shivta we just mentioned. Mishinasna tam bekadera, from the point that it puts its taste into a dish, into a pot. Ein ba mishum truma ve ein mitam metamea tumas ochlim. It's no longer considered truma, nor is it any more able to be metame other foods. So what we see from here is that Rashi elaborates, but I'll just say it outside, that once the dill has given over its flavor to something, it becomes eitz ka'alma, like just like wood. It's like tasteless wood, and it loses its status as really anything. And therefore, it's no longer considered truma. It's no longer considered tame to the point that it can be metame other foods. It loses that status. So based on this, Shema Amina, we learn from this, Nilamatuke Tama, Avdilah, that its purpose is to give over taste. It's not just removing things, but rather it gives taste from the lashon of the Mishnah. Shema Amina, indeed, we learn from this and we conclude that dill its purpose is to add taste, and therefore a dill soup would be hadama. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi. So that's the last discussion. Rav Chiya bar Ashi says pas tsanuma bekaara. So if you have this pastasuma, the very dry bread, Yavesha, says Rashi, is nasa beka'ara l'sharos, and you put it in like this, like dish, a bowl of water in order to soak it so that you could to eat it. And now you have this very hard bread, this like stale bread, that was soaked in a dish. Now it's like kind of fallen into many pieces in this bowl. So, mevarchinan alea hamotzi. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi says you say hamotzi on this. Upligad Rav Chiya dam, and this is against that which Rav Chiya said, right? We have Rav Chiya bar Ashi, and this is against the opinion of Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya classic. Dam Rav Chiya, because Rav Chiya says, tsarich shetichle bracha im hapas. You need to complete the bracha with the pas. You need to complete the bracha with the pas. Meaning, Rashi says, with the breaking of a piece of bread, right? Meaning that he says that you need to make a bracha on bread, and as you're making the bracha, you should break it into pieces. Meaning that it sounds like the bread should be full when you start the bracha. And over here, he's saying that you make hamotzi on this tsanuma. So it looks like we're not talking about whether you make a hamotzi at all. I think this is a discussion of the mafarshim, but rather if you have perhaps in front of you normal bread and then bread that is now in a bunch of pieces, maybe hard bread that's in a bowl. So which are you able to make the bracha on the bread that's in a bunch of pieces? Over here he's saying no. The Rav Chiya says you need to make a bracha on like a full bread, and in the middle of the bracha you break the bread into pieces. Maskiv LaRava. Rava challenges this opinion of Rav Chiya in general. He says Maishnat Snuma. What's the reason that you can't do a bite snuma by this dry bread that's now in pieces in a bowl? Mishum dichi kalya bracha aprusa. So because when you're finishing the bracha, it's on broken bread, meaning kachalia. Alapas, so but on bread, on full, a full loaf of bread, nami kiko gamra afrusa gamra. When you finish the bracha, it's on broken bread. Meaning Rav is saying, seemingly, right, so we'll just clarify. Ella Amarava, top of the next Amud. Rather, Rava says, "Mavarich lechachach botzeya." You should first make the bracha, and after you finish the motzilechem in aretz, then you break the bread. So Rava is saying that, you know, Rav Chiya's opinion doesn't really make sense, because Rav Chiya is saying that you should break the bread in the middle, and he's going against the Rav Chiya bar Ashi, who says that you can make the bracha on broken bread already. Rather, Rav Chiya says you need to start the bracha on broken bread, on full bread, and then break it throughout the bracha. Rava says, what's the point? But at the end of the bracha, you've finished a bracha on broken bread. What do you gain? Either you hold it should be full the whole time, or it doesn't need to be full the whole time. Rava says, I think that you should make a bracha, ideally, you should make it on bread that is unbroken, and you break it after the meal. This is going to be also the discussion. I mean, the logic, the svara behind the opinion of Rav Chiya that you break in the middle so that it's ready to eat right after. And this will actually be the discussion of, you know, people making a line on their challahs before you make a line of where to cut it, but the proper time to break it. Right? As long as it keeps its, according to Rava, as long as it keeps its shlemus, one little cut, one little mark, won't be a problem. But this is why people would make the marks on their challahs before, so that it could be as ready as possible to eat before you actually eat it, but you don't want to do it too much because you want to keep the shlemus to it, and the Gemara is going to discuss it later on this amud as well. Let's just wrap up this piece. Nehardai avdi k'Rav Chiya. So the people of Neharda, they did it in accordance with Rav Chiya. They would make the bracha, they would break the bread in the middle. Rabbanan avdi k'Rav, the Rabbanan did like Rava. Amar Avina, Ravina said, Amrali aim, my mother told me, avuch avid k'Rav Chiya, your father did it in accordance with Rav Chiya. I don't know if this was after Ravina's father passed away. I'm not sure. But he quoted his mother as saying that his father did it in accordance with the Rav Chiya. Dam Rav Chiya, the Rav Chiya said, Tzarech shetich lebracha im apas. You need to finish the bracha with the bread, meaning the breaking of the bread. Okay. Verabanan avdi kerava, but the rabbanan did in accordance with the rava. Vehilchus ad halacha is kerava, like rava. Damar varech v'achachach botzea, which is how we do. So you should not break your bread in the middle of the bracha. The halacha is like rava, that you should wait till after your bracha to break the bread. But again, if you need to make a cut in your challah, that'll make it easier to break up the challah earlier, to make a cut in it or some sort of mark, as long as it doesn't detract from its shlemus, that would be preferable so that you can eat right away. Immediately after, Yitzchak Shem will continue tonight with Lamed Tes Amud Beis.